Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani, member by Ram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Kama, Daf Ayin Vav, the seventh Perek Meruba. This daf has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Abramovitz as a schutz for Rafua Shlema for Chana ben Rachel. So the three tops we're going to focus on are when the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis taught that if one stolen animal was makdishit as a carbon and shechted it, he does not pay dal v'hei. The Gemara asks, although the Shechita does not obligate dal v'hei because it was no longer the owner's, he should pay dal v'hei for being makdishit. Mali Makhar Lehedyo, Mali Makhar Leshamayim. What difference is it to me whether he sells it to an ordinary person or sells it to heaven? Two answers are suggested to attribute the Mishnah to a Tana who holds. The Makdish retains ownership in certain cases of Hekdish, but these answers are rejected. The Gemara ultimately distinguishes between selling and being Makdish. When one sells to a Hedyot, Mikar toward the Rim, Ashta toward the Shimon. Originally it was the seller Reuven's cow, and now it's the buyer Shimon's cow. Makar Shemayim, but if he sells it, meaning is makdish it to heaven, Mikar toward the Reuven, Mahashta toward the Reuven. It was originally Reuven's cow, and now it's still Reuven's cow, meaning it's called Reuven's carbon, because it atones for him and is brought for his sake. Point number two, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said that one pays dal v'hei, but kadashim shechai b'chareyu son, karbanis for which he bears responsibility. The Gemara explains that he refers to someone who stole a carbon, where the Tana Kama holds he does not pay dal v'hei because the pasuk v'gonim v'meisa ish and it was stolen from the man's house implies v'lo m'beis hekdesh, but not from the house of hekdesh. Rabbi Shimon holds that if the owner bore responsibility for the stolen carbon, the thief does pay dal v'hei because it's considered stolen from his house. Because the owner must replace the carbon if it's lost, he has a monetary interest in it, which Rabbi Shimon considers legal ownership. The Gemara asks, since when the thief shecks the carbon outside the Mikdash, it's unfit for consumption, and Rav Shimon holds that such a shechita is not considered shechita, why does he pay dal v'hei? In the first two answers, the Gemara explains it was shechted as a carbon in the Mikdash. The owner did not receive the atonement because, number one, the blood was spilled before sprinkling, or, number two, it was not shechted for his sake. Rish Lakish answers the animal was blemished and was shechted outside the Mikdash. And point number three, Rabbi Elazar challenged the previous answer. Since Shechita alone does not permit a carbon in consumption, rather it's the subsequent sprinkling of the blood, the Shechita was not fit, so to speak, and should not obligate dal v'hei. Similarly, in the last answer, they shechted a balmum, it's only permitted to be eaten after redemption, so the Shechita was not fit at the time. The Gemara answers Rabbi Elazar forgot Rabbi Shimon's opinion that kol omer lizro kazorg dami. Any blood which stands to be thrown in the Mizbeach is considered like it was already thrown and is considered permitted in consumption. But kol omer liftos kapadui dami, and anything which stands to be redeemed is considered like it was already redeemed. So once again, the three points are number one. The Mishnah Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis taught that if one stolen animal was makdishit as a carbon and shechted it, he does not pay dal v'hei. The Gemara asks, although the Shechita does not obligate dal v'hei because it was no longer the owner's, he should pay dal v'hei for being makdishit. Mali Makhar Lehedyo, Mali Makhar Leshamayim. What difference is it to me whether he sells it to an ordinary person or sells it to heaven? Two answers are suggested to attribute the Mishnah to a Tana who holds. The Makdish retains ownership in certain cases of Hekdish, but these answers are rejected. The Gemara ultimately distinguishes between selling and being makdish. When one sells to a hedyot, mikar toward the Reuven, ashta toward the Shimon. Originally it was the seller Reuven's cow, and now it's the buyer Shimon's cow. Makar l'shamayim, but if he sells it, meaning is makdish it to heaven, mikar toward the Reuven, ashta toward the Reuven. It was originally Reuven's cow, and now it's still Reuven's cow, meaning it's called Reuven's carbon, because it atones for him and is brought for his sake. Point number two, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon said that one pays dal v'hei, but kadashim shechai b'chareyu son, karbanis for which he bears responsibility. The Gemara explains that he refers to someone who stole a carbon, where the Tana Kama holds he does not pay dal v'hei because the pasuk v'gonim v'meisa ish and it was stolen from the man's house implies v'lo m'beis hekdesh, but not from the house of hekdesh. Rabbi Shimon holds that if the owner bore responsibility for the stolen carbon, the thief does pay dal v'hei because it's considered stolen from his house. Because the owner must replace the carbon if it's lost, he has a monetary interest in it, which Rabbi Shimon considers legal ownership. The Gemara asks, since when the thief shecks the carbon outside the Mikdash, it's unfit for consumption, and Rav Shimon holds that such a shechita is not considered shechita, why does he pay dal v'hei? In the first two answers, the Gemara explains it was shechted as a carbon in the Mikdash. The owner did not receive the atonement because, number one, the blood was spilled before sprinkling, or, number two, it was not shechted for his sake. Rish Lakish answers the animal was blemished and was shechted outside the Mikdash. And point number three, Rabbi Elazar challenged the previous answer. Since Shechita alone does not permit a carbon in consumption, rather it's the subsequent sprinkling of the blood, the Shechita was not fit, so to speak, and should not obligate dal v'hei. Similarly, in the last answer, they shechted a balmum, it's only permitted to be eaten after redemption, so the Shechita was not fit at the time. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Elazar forgot Rabbi Shimon's opinion that kol omer lizrok kazorg dami. Any blood which stands to be thrown in the mizbeach is considered like it was already thrown, and is considered permitted in consumption. But kol omer liptos kapadui dami, and anything which stands to be redeemed is considered like it was already redeemed. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Ayin Vav, and this one suggested to us by Yeshua Eisenberg. He suggested that Ayin Vav is an IV, an intravenous. So here goes. The thief who broke into the animal hospital to steal Mimaknish, the cow hooked up to the IV, wasn't going to be chayib dal the hay, like his partner who began to shech to consecrate an animal that the owner had achrayas for, and whose blood collecting in another IV bag to be used for zrika was considered already thrown. Once again, in slow motion. The thief who broke into the animal hospital to steal Mimaknish, the cow hooked up to the IV, that must be more on Daf Ayin Vav. The thief who broke into the animal hospital to steal Mimaknish, the cow, hooked up to the IV, wasn't going to be chayav for dal v'hei, which reminds us, the Gemara explains why designating a stolen animal as a carbon is not tantamount to selling it. When one sells to a hedyot, originally it was the seller, Reuven's cow, and now it's the buyer, Shimon's cow, machru l'shamayim. But if he sells, so to speak, he's maknish it to heaven, it was originally Reuven's cow, and now it's still Reuven's cow, meaning it's called Reuven's carbon because it atones for him and is brought for his sake. So the thief who broke into the animal hospital to steal Mimaknish, the cow, hooked up to the IV, wasn't going to pay dal v'hei, like his partner who began to shech to consecrate an animal that the owner had achrayas for, which reminds us, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that one pays dal v'hei for kadashim shechai b'charev son, karbonus, for which he bears responsibility. He holds that if the owner bore responsibility for the stolen carbon, the thief does pay dal v'hei because it's considered stolen from his house. Because the owner must replace the carbon if it's lost, he has a monetary interest in it, which Rabbi Shimon considers legal ownership. So the thief who broke into the animal hospital to steal Mimaknish, the cow, hooked up to the IV, wasn't going to be chayib dal v'hei, like his partner who began to shech to consecrate an animal that the owner had achrayas for, and whose blood collecting in another IV bag to be used for his zrika was considered already thrown. Which reminds us, Rebbe Elazar challenged the previous answer, since shechita alone does not permit a carbon in consumption, rather it's a subsequent sprinkling of the blood, the shechita was not fit and should not obligate dal v'hei. Similarly, in the last answer that he shechted a balmum, it's only permitted to be eaten after redemption, so the shechita was not fit at the time. The Gemara answers Rebbe Elazar forgot Rebbe Shimon's opinion, the kol omer lizrok kazorg dami, that any blood which stands to be thrown on the mizbeach is considered like it was already thrown and is considered permitted in consumption. The kol omer liptos kapadui dami, and anything which stands to be redeemed is considered like it was already redeemed. So once again, the thief who broke into the animal hospital to steal Mimaknish the cow, hooked up to the IV, wasn't going to be chayiv dal v'hei, like his partner who began to shech the consecrated animal that the owner had achrayas for, and whose blood collecting in another IV bag to be used for zrika was considered already thrown. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Ayin Beis. So the simur Daf Ayin Beis is a thick piece of birthday cake. So here goes. The thief stole the long knife that was meant to cut the thick birthday cake. Thick birthday cake? That must be more on Daf Ayin Beis of. The thief stole the long knife that was meant to cut the thick birthday cake to shech the stolen sheep and the azara from beginning to end, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether ein lo shechita el b'sof or metchila v'ad sof regarding doing shechita of chulin in the azara. So the thief stole the long knife that was meant to cut the thick birthday cake to shech the stolen sheep and the azara from beginning to end, while the children played spot the Adim Zomim game, trying to detect whether it was the kids who testified they saw the birthday boy steal, or the kids who testified they saw him do the shechita, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Ganav al pishnayim, if one stole an animal according to the testimony of two Adim, but Tabuch Machar al pi, and he shecht it or sold it according to their testimony, Menimsu Zomim, and they were found to be Zomim, meaning other witnesses testified that they were elsewhere at that time, Meshalmin HaKol, they pay everything, the entire dal v'hei. If the shechita or sale was established by different Adim and all were found Zomim, the first pair pays kefa and the second pair pays the remaining threefold for an ox. If only the latter pair was found Zomim, the remaining testimony stating that he only stole it, the thief pays kefa and the Zomim pay the remaining threefold. So the thief stole the long knife that was meant to cut the thick birthday cake to shech the stolen sheep and the azara from beginning to end, while the children played spot the Adim Zomim game, trying to detect whether it was the kids who testified they saw the birthday boy steal or the kids who testified they saw him do the shechita, as the kid who was already out as an Adim Zomim was told, Lemafreya. Which reminds us, a Maraim dispute when an aid found to be an aid zomim is disqualified for subsequent testimonies. Abai says, Gomarfeu Hunipsal, he's disqualified retroactively from the moment of testimony, and any testimonies afterwards are disqualified, because from the moment he testified, he became a Rasha, and the Torah disqualifies a Rasha's testimony. Rava says, he's only disqualified from now onward, Eid Zomim Chiddushu, because the discrediting of an Eid Zomim is a novelty, Dahad Trei B'Treininu, because the contradicting testimony is really two against two. Therefore, what reason do you see to heed the second Eidim discrediting the first? Heed the first Eidim who testified they were there. Daf Ayin Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Ayin Gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The giant ostrich egg timer, giant ostrich egg? That must be on Daf Ayin Gimel egg. The giant ostrich egg timer that was used to determine if the Eidim were found to be Zomim, that a thief shechted a sheep, testified Toch Kedei Dibur of the first testifying that he stole it, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchukas about two testimonies given within Toch Kedei Dibur, and the second Eidah says Huzam. So the giant ostrich egg timer that was used to determine if the Eidim were found to be Zomim, that a thief shechted a sheep, testified Toch Kedei Dibur of the first testifying that he stole it, had two settings, Shalmalecha Rebbe Umori, and the shorter, Shalmalecha, which reminds us, the Gemara explains that there are two time frames for Toch Kedei Dibur. Number one, Kedei She'el is Talmud Rav, enough time for a student to greet a teacher, which is Shalmalecha Rebbe Umori. Rabbi Yossi does not hold this time frame joins two statements into one. And number two, Kedei She'el is HaRav Talmud, enough time for a teacher to greet a student, which is merely Shalmalecha. Rabbi Yossi considers this time frame one Dibur. So, the giant ostrich egg timer that was used to determine if the Eidim were found to be Zomim, that a thief shechted a sheep, testified Toch Kedei Dibur of their first testifying that he stole it, had two settings, Shalmalecha Rebbe Umori, and the shorter, Shalmalecha, and had a warning to all Eidim inscribed on it that said, Hachasha Tchilas Hazamehi, which reminds us, Rava said that if Eidim testified that someone incurred the death penalty and he was found guilty, then they were contradicted by other Eidim, rendering their Eidus ineffective, and later they were found Zomim, they're killed. Although their Eidus was contradicted before they were found Zomim, Hachasha Tchilas Hazamehi, contradiction is the beginning of Hazama, Elish L'Nigma, but the process was not completed. Daf Ein Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Ein Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. There was a lot of commotion in the packed basin when a first set of Eidim, that must be on Daf Ein Dalet, aid. There was a lot of commotion in the packed basin when a first set of Eidim were contradicted by a second set and then accused of being Zomim by a third set, which reminds the Gemara brings up Bryce's case of three sets of witnesses. The first pair testified that a master destroyed the slave's tooth and then his eye. Then another pair reversed the sequence, reducing the payment, and the first pair is found Zomim. The Bryce says they must pay for the eye to the master, even though their testimony was rendered ineffective by the second pair. So there was a lot of commotion in the packed basin when a first set of Eidim were contradicted by a second set and then accused of being Zomim by a third set, as Eidim who were contradicted in their testimony about someone getting the death penalty were being led away outside to get Malkus, which reminds us. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar disagree if Eidim who were contradicted and later found Zomim are killed. It proves Rabbi Elazar holds they're not killed because he said, Eidim shehukoshu benefesh lokim, witnesses who were contradicted about their testimony about someone's life, meaning that he incurred the death penalty, received lashes. So there was a lot of commotion in the packed basin when a first set of Eidim were contradicted by a second set and then accused of being Zomim by a third set, as Eidim who were contradicted in their testimony about someone getting the death penalty were being led away outside to get Malkus. Past a great rabbi who was told that despite his admitting to blinding his beloved Eved's eye, his Eved does not go free because there are no witnesses. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings an incident where Rabbi Gamliel blinded his slave Tevi and was rejoicing greatly because he wished to free this righteous slave, but could not because of the Torah's directive to enslave them forever. Rabbi Yeshua informed that his admission was ineffective because there were no witnesses. This implies that if witnesses would appear, he would be liable to the fine to free him. Rav Huna responded that Rabbi Gamliel's admission was not in Basin. Daf Ein Hei, so the Simmer Daf Ein Hei is Am Ha'aretz. So here goes. The Am Ha'aretz thief, Am Ha'aretz, that must mean we're on Daf Ein Hei. The Am Ha'aretz thief who stole and didn't realize he should admit to the theft when he saw Eidim coming to testify against him, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa, Ra Eidim Shemim Mashmashim Volume. If the thief saw Eidim approaching to testify against him, and he preempted them and admitted in Basin that he stole, but did not shecht or sell it, he only pays Karen and not Kefa. Rabbi Shimon says, Yabo Eidim Ya'idu, let the witnesses come and testify, and the thief will pay kefal. So the Amaretz thief who stole and didn't realize he should admit to the theft when he saw Eidim coming to testify against him, and then only admitted to shechting the animal after they testified, requiring him to pay Dal Vehei, which reminds us, Rav Hamnuna reasoned that Rav's ruling was only where one admitted to stealing and Eidim testified as much, Shrei Chayv Atzma Bekeren, because he obligated himself in paying the principal. An admission which requires payment is a valid admission. But if Adim testified that he stole, and he admitted that he sold or shechted it, and then Adim testified so, he does pay dal behei, shrei pata atzma lakun, because he had exempted himself from paying anything in his admission, since he knew his admission would not obligate him to pay kanaz. So the Amoritz thief who stole and didn't realize he should admit to the theft when he saw Adim coming to testify against him, and then only admitted to shechting the animal after they testified, requiring him to pay dal behei, was totally confused why a second set of Adim, who then testified that he shechted the animal and were found to be zomim, did not have to pay, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a case where Adim testified that someone stole, and he agreed that he stole and also shechted or sold the animal, but did not steal in front of them, but before two other Adim whom he named. The first pair was exposed as zomim, and the other Adim later testified to his theft and shechting. The thief pays the principal, and the zomim pay the kefil. Because the thief admitted to their testimony, these witnesses would not be punishable even if they are later found zomim. The Rabbanan hold, kol edishi atayachu hazima lahavi edus. Any testimony which you cannot refute through hazama is not valid testimony, so their testimony cannot obligate the thief to pay the additional threefold. Simchas considers the testimony valid, so he pays the threefold. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn about two time frames for Toch Kedei Dibur? That's on Dav Ein Gimel. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn the Rabbi Yochanan Hasanur holds that Maisa Shabbos is forbidden to everyone forever? That's on Dav Ein Aleph. Good. Number three, which stuff do you learn why being Makdish a stolen animal as a carbon is not tantamount to selling it to be Chayv Dal Vehei? That's on Dav Ein Vav. Good. Number four, which stuff do we have machlok is whether an Eid Zomim is disqualified Luma Freya or Mekanu Lahaba? That's on Dav Ein Beis. Good. Number five, which stuff do we have machlok is if Eidashi Atayachu Lahazima applies to a case where the Eidim would not be punished since the thief admitted to their testimony? That's on Dav Ein Hei. Good. Number six, which of them the Rav Shimon holds called Omer Lizor Kazorg Dami? That's on Dav Ein Vav. Good. Number seven, which of the question whether a motive of Kanas has to pay if his admission does not obligate him to pay anything? That's on Dav Ein Hei. Good. Number eight, which of the when the Rav Shimon says that one does pay Dal Vehei for stealing and shechting Kadash Mishachai B'chareu San? That's on Dav Ein Vav. Good. Number nine, which Dafti Machuk is that the thief has to pay Kefo if he admits to a theft when he sees Adim coming? That's on Dav Ayin Hey. Good. And number 10, which stuff you have a question? The thief only admitted that he stole and shechted an animal to one partner. Would the other partner receive 5 half bakar? That's on Dav Ayin Off. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.